Right now, in the middle of the coronavirus pandemic here in Massachusetts, doctors and surgeons who are not dealing directly with COVID cases face a difficult dilemma: how to decide what is non-urgent care and how to manage elective surgeries. For Dr. Alessa Coliani, a chief resident of otolaryngology and head and neck surgery at Harvard Medical School, those questions have recently centered around postponing cancer surgeries and whether those decisions are what's best for her patients. She wrote about it in The New Yorker, and she joins us now on the line. Dr. Coliani, welcome to Radio Boston.
Thanks so much for having me, Tiziana.
How are you?
I'm doing okay. It's a very unprecedented time. It's certainly an odd time to be finishing up my residency training and, you know, moving on to fellowship in a few short months. Certainly not what we imagined when the year started, but we're dealing.
I'm glad to hear that part about dealing. And I think everybody who's listening can agree that we are in a place none of us imagined when this year started. One of the things that you've wound up having to deal with in a way you might not have before is figuring out how hospitals are defining non-urgent and elective procedures or care. Can you give us what those definitions are, or how hospitals you're working in are define those two things?
Sure. So we're sort of separating surgeries into things that are elective, meaning non-time sensitive. So things like, my friend is actually waiting to undergo a rotator cuff surgery for an injury that happened about a year ago. Delaying that surgery by a month is annoying to him, but it's not going to impact him medically. And then there are things like urgent surgeries, where it's a little bit more difficult to define. So things that can potentially wait for 2 to 4 weeks is how my institution has been defining that kind of case. But, you know, after 2 to 4 weeks, the patient may suffer consequences of not having that taken care of. And then emergent or emergency surgery, needs to take place within a matter of kind of hours to days. And that's kind of how we're defining things.
And for the most part right now, it's really only the emergency surgeries that are happening.
Urgent and emergent cases are happening. And so it kind of depends on the institution. But at least at the beginning of this pandemic, sort of at the end of March, beginning of April, really only emergency surgeries were being done, or things that really could not be delayed. And then as we started to get more information and learn more about kind of risks of operating in this setting, we expanded that definition a little bit, or at least that's what I was perceiving in my hospital.
So let's go back in time. Let's go back to before January and sort of quote unquote normal times. What type of surgeries were you doing?
So I'm an ear, nose, and throat or otolaryngology surgeon. So we do everything from kind of facial plastics, cosmetic type procedures to otology surgeries, meaning, taking care of patients with chronic ear disease or putting in cochlear implants to help people hear, to pediatric otolaryngology and head and neck surgery. Head and neck deals with cancer care for patients with head and neck tumors. So back in January, we were quite busy doing all kinds of surgeries.
So when I listen to that list, some of those, it seems obvious that they can wait. Are there surgeries that fall into that range where they have waited and maybe it's not obvious that they should?
I think you can make an argument. So elective doesn't mean unnecessary. So all of the surgeries that we do are addressing a problem that a patient has and needs to be addressed. I think the way that we're defining, urgent or non-urgent or things that can be delayed is really being dictated by the supplies that we have, the capacity that we have. So I guess just to make that clear that like none of these surgeries are not necessary. It's just how time sensitive are they? And in a lot of cases that can't really be defined easily.
And yet it has to be defined on a regular basis in this moment.
Right.
And what made you decide to write about this? What were you struggling about in it for yourself?
So, I've been writing for a long time, and I think that's kind of how I process difficult decisions. And I've, been writing about ethical complications in medical school and in residency and in surgical training for a number of years now. And we totally reorganized our residency program kind of in the middle of March as we were realizing that this was going to be a bigger problem, the coronavirus And so when I went to do my first rotation as kind of like the chief resident of everything at Mass Eye and Ear, it was really striking to me how uncertain things were in a way that they had never really been uncertain before. So it was unclear whether we should be advocating for our patients to get necessary surgeries in a time when it was unknown what the risk was, both to us of potentially becoming infected by doing a surgery on an airway that had been symptom screened but had not received testing for COVID-19. The recommended personal protective equipment for the surgeries that we do, which expose us to very high viral load areas like the nose and the mouth and the throat and the airway. Those guidelines were changing every day. And so I think we saw just kind of a lot of uncertainty, a lot of fear, and a lot of like, we wanted to do the right thing. We want to advocate for your patients. You want them to get the surgeries that they need, but not if that's actually not the right thing to do for them, both from a systems capacity perspective, and also from a their risk and our risk as well. So it just there was no easy answer.
Can you tell us about the couple that you wrote about, the older adults who came in for surgery and had not gotten the word that their surgery had been canceled?
Yeah, that was just a devastating morning. So, the night before that, the decision, a very difficult decision, had been made by leadership to postpone all cases, except emergent cases of which they were not scheduled. So, basically, to clear the board for the rest of the week as we were trying to figure out what the right approach was for both preoperative testing and whether those tests were going to be available. And what the right approach was for personal protective equipment for the surgeons. And so everything was canceled like in one fell swoop. And the next morning I happened to be walking, I was, on one of my weeks as chief, and I happened to be walking through the preoperative area to go grab a mask. And one of the nurses that I've worked with for the last couple of years came up and said, "Hey, there's a couple here. They're here for their surgery. I thought everything was canceled. Can you go talk to them?" And so, having to walk out into the otherwise empty waiting room to this couple who had, clearly not gotten the message, because things were changing so quickly, and have to say, "I'm so sorry. I know you've rearranged your lives in order to be here today for your surgery, and it can't happen today. I'm so sorry."
Dr. Coliani, I know you know that over the last couple of weeks, the governor and his administration have been beginning to sort of raise the alarm with people that that you do still need to come in for health care, that maybe we've oversuppressed people in getting the care that they need in our attempt to keep our hospital beds, our PPE, et cetera, available for the surge. Any sense when this is said and done, will we have overshot, or do you think we're getting the balance right in what we're postponing versus what we're doing on a day-to-day basis as we go through this, what is obviously for everybody, uncharted territory?
Well, I'll start by saying that I'm so glad that the governor did say to seek medical care when you need medical care. The hospital is the safest place for you if you need medical care. And so, we're here, we're ready to take care of you, and we don't want people to delay coming in with serious health conditions because they're frightened of COVID, So I just am so thankful that message is getting across. I think there's really no way to know whether we have kind of overshot the mark. I think that, again, like we're in a really tough position where you want to do the right thing for your patients, and it's really unclear what the right thing is because there are risks to doing surgery and there are risks to not doing surgery for these patients, even patients with advanced cancers. So I think we're just doing the best that we can right now, and we'll continue to do that.
And how do your patients react when they find out that they've got a surgery, maybe something like a cancer surgery, that is being postponed?
Well, at this point, we're actually doing where things are starting to get better from a number of different perspectives. So, for one thing, tests are more available, and so we're able to preoperatively test people for COVID, and that makes everybody feel a little bit better. And also with the kind of reprocessing of the N95 respirators, we're able to get the most kind of advanced protective equipment that we would need. So I think, the immediate dangers of like not knowing a patient's COVID status and not having adequate protective equipment, I think those are not really as much of an issue as they were in the beginning of April and in late March. I think, patients react different ways. I think we're trying to make these kind of shared decision-making decisions. And so, a patient who has cancer and who needs a surgery but is And you know, there's a we can either operate now or we can try chemotherapy or immunotherapy and operate later, kind of as we're opening up more. We're really having patients help make that decision as well. So it's, you know, it's not the same decision for every patient.
So if you end your piece with the line, "For now we wait," I think that probably resonates with a lot of people in this crisis. What does that mean to you right now that we're waiting?
I mean, I think right now it's becoming clear that this is really not going away. This is certainly changing the way that we're providing ENT care, and we'll continue to change that for the weeks and months to come. I think when I wrote this piece, I was really hoping that things would just go back to normal after a certain time, and it's really becoming clear that we're going to have to find a new normal and a way to creatively and effectively serve our patients in kind of the safest and most, you know, medically efficacious way possible. And I'm lucky that I work with a bunch of extremely thoughtful individuals who are putting their minds to task and trying to figure out ways that we can figure out the new normal and not wait anymore.
That's Dr. Alessandra Colliani, Chief Resident of Otolaryngology and Head and Neck Surgery at Harvard Medical School. You can find a link to her New Yorker piece at our website, radioboston.org. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks so much.